to start over. Sorry about that. Got to remember where the chords are. God said it's time to come and be my Savior. Oh, praise His name, He left heaven for me. Lord, just to die upon the cross at Calvary, to shed His blood just to set my soul.
name shall be called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the interpretation of that is God with us. Now, the Lord has many names, as you already know. Emmanuel is a name. And then Jesus is His earthly name that He went by when He was on this earth. And yet He is also referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but Isaiah points out the fact that His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I was in the doctor's office Monday after I preached last Sunday, and my doctor asked me, "What did you preach on Sunday?" She goes to a Methodist church, but we have conversations from time to time about the Lord. And so she asked me, she said, "What did you preach on Sunday morning?" I said, "You want to know what I preached on Sunday morning?" She said, "Yeah." And I told her, I said, "Well, you know, in the Old Testament, the Lord's name was kept a secret. And many times He would not reveal His name. He didn't reveal it to Jacob. He didn't reveal it to Moses at first. He said, just tell him when you go before Pharaoh that I am hath sent you. And He didn't reveal it to Jacob when Jacob was wrestling with the angel of the Lord and wanted to know His name. And He kept it secret. And in the book of Proverbs it says, who hath gathered the wind in his fist? What is his name, if thou canst tell? And what is his son's name? And He kept that thing a secret. But He reveals to Isaiah what the name is going to be. And when you see the list, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, I said to her, I said, why would Isaiah put that in the order that he put it in? I say, he didn't call him first the Prince of Peace. I said, he didn't call him first the Mighty God. He didn't call him first the Everlasting Father. I said, the first thing he called him was Wonderful. I said, why do you think that Isaiah called him Wonderful? She said, because he is wonderful. And I said, well, I hope my people got it as good as you did. But this morning, I want to preach on the fact that his name is called Counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And I want to speak for just a few minutes on this name, Counselor. You know, in this day and age, it seems to be a fashionable thing for people to have a counselor. And the reason why they have these worldly counselors is because they can't get any counsel from God. And they don't get any counsel from the Word of God. And they need somebody to help them with the problems that they have in life. They cannot be their own problem solver, so they go to a counselor. When I was 57 years old, I went back to school and I took counseling at the Southern State Community College. I took all the counseling courses that they have there. And in the counseling courses, it doesn't matter whether you go to a Christian school and study counseling or to a secular school and study counseling, you're going to get the same stuff. The only thing that's different is the Christian will be able to apply it to the Word of God, whereas a lost counselor, they will never say anything about God. And you study all these theories, and we went all the way back to Freud, you know, and came through with all the different theories that men, they adopted as they studied counseling themselves, and came up with a particular style of counseling. And some of them were good, and some of them weren't any good, but they all have their own style of counseling. My style of counseling was the Word of God. And when I got out there and I was working at the mental institute, some of the counselors, every now and then, they would say, I've got this person that's having religious delusions. Can you talk to them? They couldn't even talk to somebody that was having a problem with these religious delusions because they didn't know anything about God or the Bible or why a person would have some kind of delusion like that. They didn't know anything about the counselor. But the Bible says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And he's the counselor. And he's the greatest counselor that ever has been or ever will be. And yet people don't know the counselor. There are many people today in that town in Connecticut, Newtown, that are sitting with a counselor today. A sad and tragic event took place, and people need help. They don't understand it. They cannot understand why something like this happened. And they'll go to a counselor. Maybe it'll be a religious counselor. Maybe it'll be a professional counselor. But they will sit down with them. And I've heard some of them speak already on the news. I've never heard one of them recommend Jesus Christ. They might talk about God. And they might say, well, you need to pray to God. They might say, in these times you have to have hope. But they won't tell them who to have hope in. They might say, we must stay together and gain strength from one another. But they won't say, you need the Lord Jesus Christ in times like these. They may say, you've got to talk about it and what you're feeling, you've got to express and get it out in the open, and you need to talk about it. But what about recommending prayer and talking to the Lord Jesus Christ about it? You see, a counselor that is a good counselor is a good counselor because they have the ability to listen. Not that they have the ability to give advice. A fool can give you advice. It won't be any good, but he can give it to you. But a good counselor is somebody that can listen. And a good counselor knows this. You already have the answer to your problem within. You want somebody to listen to your problem, and they won't even tell you the problem until they trust you. Then when they trust you, they'll tell you what the real problem is. Oh, they'll throw a few little ones out here, you know, and make it seem like that's the problem. That's never the problem. It's always something that is deeper than that. But they don't want to tell you because they don't know whether or not they can trust you. But listen, the greatest counselor that there ever has been or ever will be, he'll listen to everything you have to say. And you can trust him. He's not going to throw it back in your face, and he's not going to tell it to anybody else. You can trust him. He'll listen. Then, once that problem is put out there, a good counselor will say, well, what do you think is the answer to this problem? And you know, 95% of the time, they can come up with the right answer to their problem. Counselors aren't necessarily advisors. They're not someone that will just give you advice. In the Bible, a counselor may be a little different. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a name. And that name is counselor. We all have some idea of what a counselor is. If I were to ask you this morning, what is a counselor? You might say it's one that gives guidance to a person so that they know how to function in society. You may say it's a person that gives advice, one who has wisdom that can point out how I should live in this world. And truly, the Lord Jesus Christ is that kind of a counselor. He can give you all those things. Worldly counselors may not give them to you, but you have some idea as to what a counselor is. But the counselor I speak of today does not specialize in theories. He does not specialize in something that he hopes will work. He specializes in the fact that he knows everything about you. He knows every thought you've ever had. He knows every emotion that you've ever had go through your soul and your body. He knows everything about everything when it comes to you. And he can certainly counsel you. You say, when can I set up an appointment? Anytime. As a matter of fact, you don't have to have an appointment. All you have to do is just go to his word. And he can counsel you through his word. Take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, it says there in verse 18, in verse 18. It says, "For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and who hath perceived and heard His word? Who hath marked His word and heard it?" If you've stood in the counsel of the Lord, then you've heard His word. I don't know about you, but I mark my Bible. This Bible, I haven't used this Bible that long. I've probably only used it a couple years. But there's certain places in my Bible, when you go through that thing, if you were to thumb through my Bible, not only is the gold wore off the edges, but the pages are littered with underlined verses, stars beside the verses, notes beside the verses. Because as I'm reading, I'm wanting God to speak to me and show me something, and He's shown it to me, and I'm marking it down so that I can go back there and say, "Lord, I remembered when I was having this problem, this difficulty, and this is what You spoke to my heart. Now I'm asking You to bring it to pass." And go back to that verse of Scripture that I've marked. And in the book of Jeremiah, he says there, "Who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and perceived and heard His word? Who hath marked His word and heard it?" If you want to get counseling from the one whose name is Counselor, then the way you do it is by going to the Word of God. He is the Counselor that counsels through His word. In Psalm 119 and verse 23 and 24, it says there, and I'll just read the one part of the verse, it says, "Thy testimonies also are my delights and my counselors." David said that the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, the things that the Lord testifies of, were his counselors. They were his counselors. David would get counsel from the Lord. Now, did he have earthly counselors? Yeah, Ahithophel was a counselor of David. And Ahithophel would go to the Lord and try to get good counsel from God and then give it to David. But David was a man who could get counsel himself from the Lord, and did many times. That's why he was such a great king when it came to battle. That's why he was a great king in leading the children of Israel. That's why God said, "He's a man after my own heart." That's why he was referred to as the sweet psalmist of Israel, because he would get counsel from God and write down those psalms and sing those songs over and over again. You see, you can get counsel from the counselor that comes through his word. But what about the person that doesn't read the word or is never encouraged to look into the word of God? He's not going to get counsel from God. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. The Lord's counsels can be in different ways. He has different ways of counseling. And he says there in chapter 40 and verse 13, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him?" No one is going to counsel with the Lord. No one knows the mind of the Spirit. God said one time, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We need to get on track with Him. The reason why people have so many problems in life is because they will not look at the Word of God and line up with it. And the Bible says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And they can't. And if you want to walk with God and talk with God and get counsel from God and know how it is that God wants you to live your life, you've got to get into the Word of God. If you don't have time for the book, God will not counsel with you. He won't do it. He wants you to read. He wants you to study. He wants you to meditate. He wants you to memorize His Word. When you take your life and you spend a lifetime in this book, I'll guarantee you there's no problem going to come up that's going to be too great for you to solve, because you know where the counselor is. And he's counseled you before, and he'll counsel you again. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says this in verse 13, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? You see what that's referring to? It's referring to counseling. It says, with whom took he counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? Counseling, when it comes from God, is teaching. When God counsels you, he teaches you. The Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 26 that he shall teach you all things. It talks about the Spirit of God, that he shall teach you all things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the things that the natural man knows. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." When God counsels you, he teaches you. That's why we have Sunday school. In Sunday school, you're going to get taught. I'm not going to be preaching in Sunday school. Every now and then, when you start yawning too much and you look a little sleepy and your eyes sort of flicker back in your head, I might preach a little bit. And sometimes I'll just let you sleep because I know you're medicated anyway. And it's working. Now, you know I'm just joking about that. No one is more medicated than me. But he counsels you by teaching. But then it also says this, "And who hath instructed him?" So instruction is counseling when it comes from God. Now you say, well, what's the difference between teaching and instructing? I don't know. They're pretty much the same, I'd say. For 15 years, I was a government certified flight instructor. They didn't call me a certified flight teacher. They said I was an instructor. But sometimes I had to teach. I had to get a book and open the book and say, okay, now you need to know this. This is the theory of flight. You need to know about the theory of flight. What causes a wing to produce lift? And go all through that and teach them from a book. But it was a different thing when we got into the airplane. I'm not teaching them no book there. I'm instructing them as to what they need to do to keep alive. And the first thing you need to do is make sure the plane's airworthy to go up in the air. The second thing you need to do is know how to start it. The third thing you need to do is know how to take it off and at what speed. And the next thing you need to do is how to get it back down and land it without killing yourself. I'm instructing them. I'm not teaching them about the theory of flight. I'm instructing them in a practical way. You know, God has a teaching that he gives to you, but then he instructs you through, with the experiences of life that he allows you to go through. He puts you through different experiences, and in those experiences, he instructs you if you will receive instruction. Now, if a student wouldn't receive instruction when I was flying with him, and doctors and lawyers were the worst ones, but the plane was the great equalizer. I always felt they always act like they're superior to you because they're always making decisions. And so they have that air of superiority. Oh, I loved that. Because once we got up in the air and they wouldn't listen to what I had to say, I'd let them mess up. And I'd let them mess up until I got them up high enough to where I could get it out of the mess that they put it into. And I would tell them, here's my teaching. Now, when you go to stall plane, make sure that ball is in the center. And if that ball's not in the center, you're going to be out of coordination. And when that plane stalls, that wing's going to flip over, and you're going to start coming down. And if you hold that, you're going to start spinning. And if you don't know how to get it out of the spin, you're going to spin into the ground, crash, and die. And I'd always have one or two that wouldn't pay any attention to the ball. So I'd say, well, we're going to do some stalls today. Let's go up to 5,000 foot. And I'd take him up there to 5,000 foot because I knew that from 5,000 foot I could recover from a pretty good spin. And I'd let him put that thing over on a wing and start going around and going around, and they didn't know what to do. They hadn't been taught. I hadn't given them instruction on that. I instructed them how to stay out of the spin, but now how to get the plane out once they were in. Difference between teaching and instructing. God puts you in situations. He lets you go through some things, some experiences in life. And when you go through those experiences, you learn the lesson so that you can help someone else out. But also, it says there, who with whom took he counsel, who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment. You know, the Lord can teach you in the path of judgment. In other words, he can counsel by teaching the path of judgment. You say, well, what do you mean, the path of judgment? I mean this. Don't ever fall for this misnomer, thou shalt not judge. Don't ever fall for that one. Number one, that's not what the Bible says. They've only given you half the verse. Number two, you better use judgment every single day of your life, or your life is going to be very short. You know what I'm good at judging? I'm good at judging things about electricity. I don't touch it. Harry came over the other night. He said, now this might surprise you a little bit. When I put these two lines together, it's going to go bang like that. I'm stepping out of the way, man. I don't want to be anywhere near him. Because if he sticks them things together and starts getting electrocuted, I'm not going to grab him. He's on his own there, buddy. I might run in there and shut that circuit breaker off. But I'll tell you what, I got judgment when it comes to electricity. I'm not going to mess with it. When it comes to certain things, you better have some judgment about those things. And the Lord's, He's able to teach you in the path of judgment. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, the same holds true. That's why He is the great counselor. He can show you how to the path of judgment in the physical things of life. And He can also show you the path of judgment in the spiritual things of life. And you better get some spiritual judgment down. And you better get some spiritual discernment down. Because we're living in a day and age of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And if you don't get some judgment down on that, you're liable to be led astray. And then He says this, and showed to him the way of understanding. So, the way of understanding comes by the counselor. Do you have understanding? Do you have knowledge? Do you have knowledge of God? Do you know about God? There was something that we were studying this morning that I said, this is an important verse and you better get it down. Because it said over there in Isaiah that God hath given them the spirit of slumber and of sleep, and have closed their eyes that they cannot see, and closed their ears that they cannot hear. God does that. If you don't want God, if you listen and you don't want to pay attention, if you don't want to see the things that God wants to show you, then you know something? He'll just let you sleep. He'll just let you go to sleep, and you won't have any light, and you'll be groping in the darkness. What do you know about God? If you had to stand before the Lord like Job did, and God told him to gird up his loins like a man, and started asking him questions. Job was an intelligent man. Job was a spiritual man. Job was a perfect man, the Bible says. one that feared God and eschewed evil, but when God asked him the questions, he couldn't answer one. Not one question could Job answer God. What do you know about God? I mean, you lived down here your life for 20, 30, 40 years as a saved person. What do you know about God? You know a lot about the world, but what do you know about God? He's the counselor. He can counsel you also by showing you the future. Look in Isaiah chapter 41, right across the page if you're on chapter 40. It says in verse 22, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 22, Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. This is the challenge that God's sending out. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. What's going to happen? Can they show you what's going to happen in the future? Can your counselor tell you what's going to happen in your future? If you go to a counselor? No. Can an idol tell you what's going to happen in the future? No. If some false god that people worship, can they tell what's going to happen in the future? No. Who can? The counselor. He can tell what's going to happen in the future. He says, let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. That's God talking to the false gods. He said, if you think you're a God, if you think you have a God, then tell us what's going to happen in the future, and God can tell you what's going to happen in the future. But the false gods can't. He counsels by showing us things that are coming. People so worried about the future, and rightly so. If you don't know the Lord, you ought to be worried. If you're not saved, you ought to be scared to death. Because we are plunging headlong into one of the darkest hours of time. We are headed as a world for catastrophic destruction. And it's not going to be the environment that we have polluted that's going to destroy us. It is not going to be man making atomic bombs or nuclear weapons. It's not going to be that. It's going to be the Lord sending His wrath upon this wicked world. But people say, you need to be politically correct and you don't need to talk about all this hellfire, damnation, and wrath coming from God. You know why they don't want that? Because they want to keep living just like they're living and doing the wicked things that they love to do, and they don't want to feel like there's any accountability or responsibility on their part to answer to God for it. And God's showing you what's coming. He's showing you what's coming. That you might purify yourself and live the way He wants you to live. He can counsel us about life and tell us how to live. He can counsel us about death and tell us what's going to happen after death. He can show us heaven. He can show us hell. And I feel so bad for those people today that will never get the counseling they really need. They have become aware of God. And that's why they pray to God right now. A lot of them don't know God. But they pray to God. And they are told, just pray to whatever you think God is. Pray to your God. No, pray to the God. If everyone had the fear of God and had the consciousness of God that some of those people up there in Newtown have today, if we could get that back in our society, we could have revival. Because those people are wanting to know the answer. Why did this happen? He can counsel you. He's the counselor. He can show you what happens when a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old dies. I think they're safe in the arms of Jesus. And wouldn't it be so great if one of those counselors said, your child is in a much better place, even though they're not with you. But someday you can be with them. And as David agonized over the death of Bathsheba's baby when he died, when he is alive, he refused to eat. He prayed. He fasted. But when he died, he got up and he cleaned himself up. They were amazed. They couldn't understand what has happened. Well, he had been counseled. He will not come to me, but I shall go to him. That's where the hope is. That's where the peace is. That's where the answer is. That's why Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that You're a great God, and You're a God that's willing to help us in every situation in life. And Father, I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone here that's struggling with some problem that they have in life, some trial that they might be going through, something that they think that no one cares about or is concerned about, Lord, we know You care. Jesus cares. And we know that You can give them the counsel that they need. Lord, You'll listen to them as they pray and pour out their hearts. Lord, You'll help them to solve the problem if they'll turn to the pages of Your book and seek Your face and ask for Your wisdom and ask for knowledge that can only come from You. Lord, if there's someone like that in here this morning, I pray that they would turn to the true counselor, the great counselor, the one that's never failed, the one that never will fail, and seek relief from You. Father, if there's anyone in here that's not saved, Lord, help them to know that You'll counsel the sinner. You said in Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 18, that a person can come to You. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be white as wool. Lord, help the sinner to know that You have counsel for them to come to You and reason with You. Lord, help the saint this morning to know that You can counsel them on every issue and problem that they have. Help the church to know, Lord, that we can always get counsel from You. You said in Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodicean church, You told them, I counsel thee to buy gold tried in the furnace of fire, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. Father, You have counsel for everyone. Lord, may we always seek Your face and seek your counsel. Now, Lord, bless us. Bless this invitation song that we sing, Lord. And if someone needs to come and pray, may they come quickly and immediately and take care of business with you here at this altar. And we'll just give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What will we sing? 381.